It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. A Wednesday edition, hump day edition of the show underway. I am your host, Cole Bear, inside the friendly confines of the Shirley Street studio. It is August 30 of 2022. Feels like we were just waving goodbye to July, my goodness. But that means football is here. College football, to be specific. And yesterday, had a great time yesterday out at Shields, the show on location, as teamed up with UNI Athletics for their yard sign giveaway, the Hail Our Panthers yard signs, an outstanding turnout. Shout out to everybody over there with UNI Athletics and Learfield Sports, Kaylee and Parrish and Jamar, and the UNI women's basketball team was out there helping out and taking pictures with the kids. Shout out to TC and TK. That was a fun event, and it's always nice to get the show out and about, and the folks at Shields, too, they were all very nice, very helpful as well. So a good time was had yesterday, and it was great to be able to talk to both UNI football play-by-play voice J.W. Cox and Iowa State football play-by-play voice John Walters yesterday on the show. The content, at least I thought, was outstanding. And, you know, that's good because I'm in charge of it. But to be able to talk to those two in the same show on game week, when, of course, the Panthers and Cyclones are set to kick it off against one another on Saturday at 1 o'clock at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. Yours truly will be there for that one. And, of course, pregame coverage right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation begins at 11 on Saturday morning. So we'll talk a little bit about that game later on in today's show. Details forthcoming. But first things first, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Appreciate you being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ, or I should say on X, at 1650KCNZ. I feel like I can still call it Twitter as long as the Twitter.com URL works. I would be afraid to type in X.com and see where that might take somebody. I wouldn't recommend doing that, especially at work. Nonetheless, my Twitter or X handle, at RealColeBear. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us there on the Zuck Machine. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure that you bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. All sorts of local, statewide, and national sports content to be found there, including the podcast of this show, as well as other audio on demand. Bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. If you want to dial me up with any questions or comments to add to the program, 319-277-1918. Save it in your phone. 319-277-1918 or 800-913-9479. If you'd rather email the show, you can do that. We have the technology. Email address, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, here's what's on the agenda today. We'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we take timeout number one and get you a national sports update, as well as a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Las Vegas. We'll also get you a forecast from the one and only Megan Mulford, looking into tomorrow and Friday. And it sure sounds like that Friday the heat's going to come back, not as bad as we recently had it, but that the heat is going to return starting on Friday, and it's going to be a warm one, somewhere lower mid-90s on Saturday. And like I mentioned, that that UNI-Iowa State game kicks off at 1 o'clock. Meanwhile, you've got the Iowa Hawkeyes kicking off against Utah State at 11 on Saturday morning. So we'll see. Heat may well play a factor in that game. And, you know, you're going to be testing depth. It's something we talked about last week with Dave Finnegan ahead of Cedar Falls' season opener. And, you know, just the high school football week one season opener was everything that may have come of those temperatures. But something to certainly keep an eye on here, as I would imagine maybe one or two of you out there are looking to make a wager this weekend on college football. So we shall see. Nonetheless, after we're done, or I should say when we come back in the second segment of the show, we'll be joined by Des Moines Register sports writer Tommy Birch. Tommy's going to talk to us about the Chicago Cubs making this big playoff push. Cubs get that 3-2 win over the Brewers. You heard it earlier today here on The Fan. And they are now just three games back of the Brewers in that NL Central race. And the Cubs, at the moment, ahead of tonight's games, holding a two-game lead over the San Francisco Giants for the second wild card spot. So there's a lot of guys in Iowa playing for the iCubs that could very well find their way to Chicago at some point here, especially with roster expansion coming up in September. And there's also been a lot of guys that, if you have made it to an Iowa Cubs game this summer, that have already made their way up and have made big game impacts with the Major League Ball Club. So a lot to talk about, like usual, with Tommy. Also, he had written a feature story on UNI quarterback Theo Day earlier this month, and I want to ask him about that. And he was on the Iowa State football beat for a number of years, so I want to get his two cents as well on the big matchup on Saturday between the Panthers and Cyclones. After we're done talking with Tommy in the second segment, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back in that third segment. We'll talk some high school football. You'll get an hour's worth of high school football talk coming up between 6 and 7 with the Coach's Huddle. Mark Simpson standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls, as he'll be joined between 6 and 7 by the four Metro high school football coaches. Cedar Falls is Brad Remmert, Waterloo West, Lonnie Moore, Waterloo East, DeCarlo Sanderson, and Columbus Catholic's Brad Schmidt. Recapping week one, looking ahead to week two. And before we get to Mark, we'll talk Independence High School football in the third segment today here on the show, as Mustangs coach Justin Putz will join us. Independence ranked sixth in Class 3A, and they got off to a great start last Friday with a 50-22 win at North Fayette Valley. And their junior quarterback, E.J. Miller, had an outstanding game, throwing for nearly 300 yards and threw for four touchdowns in that one. He was just electric. So Coach Putz will join us in that third segment. We'll talk Independence football. After we're done there, we will take the final timeout and get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then come back for a final time and wrap up the show. All right, let's go ahead and dive right in. Area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. Last night in Metro Volleyball, 5A fifth-ranked Cedar Falls rolled past Cedar Rapids Jefferson 3-0. Here is Tigers coach Matt Johnson with his thoughts on the Tigers' win last night.
We knew we'd have an advantage at the net and be able to outwork them on a few different things, but it's also one of those where, like, sometimes when things are kind of getting out of hand and that lopsided, kids maybe aren't as sharp as you want, and we did a pretty good job of, like, staying clean with the first contact and doing a few things that we've been working on. And, you know, the big thing is we played 18 girls tonight, and I said, you know, it's not a case of, like, oh, we're just throwing you out here to just, like, finish the night. Like, come on the floor and play well. And all 18 girls, like, came out and showed why they have varsity uniforms and what they're capable of.
And here's Coach Johnson on how he feels about his team after seven matches so far this season.
Really well. And the thing is, we've got, like, a really coachable group where it's like we can do try and do some different things, and girls respond pretty well to that. We also have a group that, like, you know, we're challenging them to have fun, and like, I think you saw today, like, they were pretty excited when things were going well, and they were into it, and it just makes a more fun product to watch, whether it's me sitting there watching or fans watching when kids are going hard and enjoying what they're doing.
In other Metro volleyball matches last night, Cedar Rapids Kennedy swept Waterloo West, Waterloo East swept Des Moines North, and 2A top-ranked Dyke New Hartford swept Waterloo Columbus Catholic. Meanwhile, last night in Metro Girls Swimming and Diving, Cedar Falls got a win, defeating Cedar Rapids Washington 140-43. Today in Boys Metro Golf, Waterloo West competing at a Mississippi Valley Conference Quadrangular against Dubuque Hempstead, Cedar Rapids Washington, and Iowa City Liberty at Meadows Golf Club in Dubuque. The UNI women's soccer team got past St. Ambrose 3-0 yesterday here in Cedar Falls. UNI led 1-0 at halftime, iced the game with a pair of goals in the second half. With the win, the Panthers remain unbeaten, 4-0-1. UNI has outscored its opponents 16-2 this season. Panthers return to action Sunday, hosting Omaha. The Iowa State football team, of course, preparing for its season opener Saturday against UNI. It's going to be the 34th all-time meeting between the two teams. The Cyclones have won the last three. Saturday's showdown will be the 300th game played at Jack Trice Stadium. You can hear the coverage right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation. Pregame begins at 11, kickoff at 1. If you're a Panther fan and you want the Panther call, listen to our Koloff Media Station, 93.5 The Mix. Pregame coverage begins at noon on The Mix. Former Cedar Falls and Iowa standout Ike Bucker has been released by the Buffalo Bills. The 28-year-old rehabbed from a severe injury last season, coming off the Bills' physically unable to perform list late in the year. Bucker had started 17 games for Buffalo at guard between the 2020 and 21 seasons. The Green Bay Packers have signed former UNI safety Benny Sapp III to their practice squad. Sapp signed with the Packers as an undrafted free agent. In the preseason, he recorded 3 tackles, 3 pass breakups, and 1 interception. That interception sealed Green Bay's 19-15 win over Seattle this past Saturday. Sapp is the son of former NFL defensive back Benny Sapp II, who spent 8 years in the league with Kansas City, Minnesota, and Miami. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. We come back on the other side. We're joined by Des Moines Register sports writer Tommy Birch. We'll talk Cubs, we'll talk baseball, we'll even talk a little Iowa State UNI football when Tommy joins us next, right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Los Angeles.
Here's Monsi Bolaños.
The Angels may have beat the Phillies, but it was still a big day for Bryce Harper.
7-6 in the bottom of the eighth. First pitch to Harper. He launches one high in the air, deep right field. Renfro back, looking up, and it's gone! Number 300 is a go-ahead two-run home run by Harper in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's one amazing swing after another this month for the Phillies, and Harper has put the Phillies up 8-7 with his 300th career home run.
Phillies radio network on the call, but it was the Angels who ended up beating the Phillies 10-8. Right now, the Reds are beating the Giants 2-1, top of the eighth inning. In the NFL, any contract negotiations between the Dolphins and quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and defensive tackle Christian Wilkins will be tabled until after the 2023 season.
This is Ron Coomer. Join me and the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes for Cubs baseball right here on The Fan.
Good.
Cooper's Tap Room at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls is now open. And as soon as you step foot inside, you'll see that Cooper's Tap Room is not your usual College Hill bar, as it offers a wide array of ice-cold tap beers, signature and seasonal drinks, a delectable, unique menu, and the environment you desire with TVs all around and the feel of a longtime local establishment. Find out more at cooperstaproom.com or by following them on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter.
First Bank is one of the few remaining community banks in this area, and our vision really matches up with endowments, foundations like the Cedar Falls Schools Foundation.
And there's nothing more community than the local public school district.
It's always been very important for our board of directors to support locally whenever we can. That extends to who we have handling our investments.
We want to be a partner to them. We want to help them be successful, and we really want them to grow.
First Bank, serving you first.
Hi, this is Andrew Kaler from Denver Insurance. Life is complicated. Your insurance shouldn't be. Why not simplify it with policy bundling? Grinnell Mutual and Denver Insurance give you lower rates for each policy when you bundle your home and auto insurance together. It's a one-and-done solution, and that's a win-win. Make your life easier with bundled insurance so you can trust in tomorrow.
Yeah, I got you.
Contact
you got
me, Andrew Kaler, your local Grinnell Mutual agent.
All right,
at Denver
I'm talking
insurance
to Tommy
today.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Unlike yes. other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. G.Bank.
Sounds good. Maybe a little hotter than
the
yours
NFL
was.
Regular season opener will be on September 7th in Kansas yeah. City when the Super Bowl champion Chiefs take on the Detroit Lions. The Lions went 9-8 last season, started the year 1-6. Kansas City a 6.5-point home favorite, minus 290 on the money line. The Lions plus 235. The over-under at 54.5. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets will play in the first Monday night football game against the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo a 2.5-point road favorite, minus 138. The Jets plus 118 with an over-under of 46.5. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony DeZiri, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows level off around 52. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the east 5 to 10 miles an hour. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 83. Lows level off around 53. Tomorrow night, clear skies. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Friday and Saturday, and highs from the upper 80s to the mid-90s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 82.
You're listening to Cole and Company on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues. Coach's Huddle coming up between 6 and 7 tonight. Mark Simpson standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls, where he'll be joined by the four Metro High School football coaches. We're going to talk a little college football now, but we're going to start by talking baseball. It's been a while since we have, so we bring in our guy Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register. Follow him on Twitter, at Tommy Burch. Tommy, my guy, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great, man. My Chicago Cubs are making a pretty damn good playoff push here, and that's where I want to start. They get a 3-2 win this afternoon, which equals a 2-1 series win over the Milwaukee Brewers, and has the Cubs within three games of the Brewers' lead in the NL Central. They're two up for that second wild card spot as it stands right now before the night games. Tommy, as someone who covers the Iowa Cubs game in and game out, you're connected throughout the Cubs organization. What stands out most to you with this playoff push that not too many people saw coming, and maybe just overall how this team's come together?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the most impressive thing is how they're having guys step up and really perform. You know, obviously with Marcus Stroman out, some other pieces to the puzzle as well. You know, they've had guys step up and really overperform. And that's kind of what it takes to be a championship team. Obviously, you have to have your stars perform. And the Cubs are doing that with Dansby and Nico and Ian Happ heating up right now. But they're also getting a lot of help from guys like Albert Alzolay, who has just been remarkable. And then the the spot start, well, not the spot start, but the call-up of Jordan Wicks, and just a lot of guys have been coming through and adding some really good pieces to the puzzle for the Cubs and allowed them to really take off.
Yeah, it's been fun to see these guys that have been called upon, some by design, some by nature of injury, like you mentioned with Stroman. And, you know, it's a big reason why I make a point to have you on before the baseball season, because there are so many Cubs fans in the Cedar Valley, and it's like, hey, it looks like, you know, a lot of these guys that are going to be playing at Iowa at some point could be making an impact with the big league team. And you pointed out Jordan Wicks is one of those guys. I'm curious to hear what you can tell us about Jordan Wicks, who's taken Drew Smyly's spot in the rotation. He had a rough start in the first inning, but, man, he bared down. And I think it was like 12 or 15 guys in a row he retired in that start this past weekend. And then Javier Assad, who may not have like the prospect label, but he's got a couple seasons now of coming up big for this Cubs team in the second half. What can you tell us about, you know, what Wicks and Assad can provide and what their future might hold?
Yeah, Assad's another guy that's kind of jumped out and really performed well and kind of exceeded expectations. But, you know, there were a lot of high hopes, actually, for Javier Assad going into the season. He was a guy that they looked at as possibly taking that fifth spot in the starting rotation. Hayden Wisniewski ended up having a great spring and won it. So, but Assad, when he's gotten a shot, like, wow, he has been absolutely phenomenal. But when it comes to Jordan Wicks, I mean, he's got one of the best changeups in baseball, not just in the Cubs system, but probably all baseball. It's a pitch that got him through most college as a dominating pitcher and through most of the early years of his pro years, you know, in the Cubs system. So, I mean, I think the best thing about Jordan Wicks is, and we saw it a few times when he was pitching in Iowa, you know, he would not let adversity totally ruin his day, totally ruin his outing. If he struggled in the first inning, you would see it all the time where he would go out and put up zeros in the second, third, and fourth innings and end up giving you five really good innings. So, to me, that's really remarkable for such a young guy that, you know, what we saw in, you know, his debut is something that we've seen at times in the minor leagues, and that's not always easy to do. I mean, you see it a lot of times, especially with Cubs pitchers, where, you know, I think over the last couple of years, the Cubs have really coddled some of their young pitchers, but the ability to get into jams and work out of them,
yeah,
and go on and have success is probably one of the most important things you can learn in the minor leagues.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register sports writer, beat writer for the Iowa Cubs for the Register, our guest right now on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Tommy, Wicks and Assad are far from the only two Iowa Cubs that have gone up to Chicago and made a difference. Daniel Palencia out of the bullpen, along with Hayden Wesneski, have made contributions. Nick Madrigal kind of found himself midseason with a short stint down in Des Moines. Christopher Morel has come up and been a good DH. I mean, still, you know, he's not perfect, but he's been a good DH. And Mike Tauchman might be the guy of all of them who is the furthest thing from a prospect at 32 years old. But the common refrain among Cubs fans is that this is the summer of Tauchman.
Yeah, I mean, that's been really remarkable. And what's really interesting when you look at his time, when you look at his time in the Cubs system, when he first got to Iowa, he was not a priority outfielder by any means. I mean, he was a guy, but he was kind of almost like an insurance policy to the major leagues and kind of a roster filling type of AAA type player, because you look at what the Cubs had in the outfield to start the year, Darius Hill, obviously not a big prospect, but a guy that they wanted to get reps for. Perlaza was a guy that had been around the organization that they were still interested in. And then Brennan Davis, one of the biggest prospects in the system, who had just been battling injury after injury. So Tauchman was just kind of this odd man out when it came to at-bats, but when he got opportunities in Iowa, he really shined, really made the most of it. And then when he went up to Chicago, just absolutely did the exact same thing. You know, it kind of kind of reminds me a lot of what we saw from Frank Schwindel. And that's not to take anything away from what Mike Tauchman has accomplished and what he could accomplish moving forward, because I think he has obviously created a tremendous opportunity for himself moving forward and possible decent payday for a guy that was signing a minor league deal. But, you know, Frank Schwindel was a guy that got called up late in the year, made the most of his chances, and absolutely raked and parlayed that into a better opportunity. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward because, look, you know, Mike Tauchman is probably not in the Cubs' long-term plans by any means because you look what they already have in the outfield with Seiya, with Happ, with Bellinger, and what they have coming up through the minor leagues with PCA and Alexander Canario. There's just not a lot of room for a guy like Mike Tauchman, no matter how well he has performed down the stretch.
Yeah, we got to enjoy this while we got it with Mike Tauchman. It's the kind of stuff that makes you romantic about baseball, is Brad Pitt playing Billy Bean once said in Moneyball. September call-ups, not what they used to be. You can't just bring up everybody on your 40-man. It's just an expansion from 26 to 28 on the big league roster. But you had mentioned Pete Crow Armstrong, who among Cubs fans just goes by the acronym PCA. You had a great story in the Register about Alexander Canario, who you mentioned. A couple guys that offer some different profiles, but both look like they're pretty much ready for the challenge of going and playing in the big leagues. Then again, there's a lot more to consider this time of year when you're in a playoff push. Have to imagine at least a pitcher gets called up. How do you see Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins navigating this? If you had to handicap it, Tommy, how would you among the names that could get the call?
Yeah, sorry, you're getting my son in the background. He just loves the show and wants to get some airtime.
I love the energy. I assume that it was because he was listening to the show, and I love the energy.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I think Jed Hoyer kind of offered, you know, some little hints into how they could end up doing this, where, you know, even though you get two roster spots, it may not be just two guys that maybe they would call up two guys, would send down a guy and bring up another. I think in the grand scheme of things, there's a wide variety of guys that are going to get good looks. Obviously, PCA is a guy that they are more than prepping for that idea. They're having him come off the bench, pinch hit, drop back bunt, play the corner outfield spots, all things that you would inevitably expect a guy like him to do if he came off the bench at Chicago. I could see Prabasa possibly getting a shot, Matt Mervis possibly getting another opportunity. When it comes to arms, I think the most obvious one is going to be Luke Little because, one, he is a lefty, and two, he has got tremendous swing and miss stuff. And, you know, the Cubs need another lefty. They obviously need help in the bullpen. I think he can fill those gaps. So those are kind of the main guys I would say are probably on the radar for September calls. But like I said, even though it could be, you know, Luke Little and possibly Prilata as maybe the first two guys, I'm just throwing out two names as the first two. You know, that doesn't mean that you won't see PCA or you wouldn't see Alexander Canario. But I will say, the kind of the main guy that might be on the outside looking in is possibly Alexander Canario, just because, look, I think they're really taking their time with it when it comes to this, a guy that had a really bad shoulder injury, ankle injury, and is still kind of getting back into the rhythm of things. He is just absolutely obliterated opposing pitching over the last month, but he's still got a lot of at-bats to make up for. Yeah. So I think what they're going to want to do is have him at least finish the season in Iowa to get as many opportunities and as many at-bats as possible. And then if he's still swinging really well, then you leave open the possibility to a late-season call-up. But he is already pegged to the point in the Arizona Fall League, but that doesn't mean that the Cubs, you know, couldn't call him up after the Iowa Cubs season ends in September.
Tommy, just a final thought on this Cubs team. I'm making sure to just enjoy the ride and kind of live in the moment of the fun that's been, you know, pretty much sitting down every night to watch him since the All-Star break. you know, you sit here and you go, well, man, they couldn't beat the Braves in the playoffs. But a season ago, we watched the Phillies beat the Braves and make it to the NLCS. So, I mean, what are we to make of expectations if this team does end up becoming a playoff team?
Absolutely nothing. I have no expectations for them moving forward just because it's been such a weird year. You know, I went into the trade deadline thinking, like, okay, this is a team that should probably do a lights out, and it's not going to be a team that goes far in the playoffs. I still don't think it is, but given the right matchup, who knows? And, you know, we've seen some weird things happen over the last couple of years where you get somebody in a short series, a team gets hot, da-da-da-da-da, they end up moving on. So, you know, it's not entirely out of the question, I think, that the Cubs could make some waves in the playoffs. But I think when it comes to what the Cubs could do, it's going to be really, really tough. Just because, like, throughout the season, you know, we've seen this from the Cubs where, you know, I don't know how many times I've talked about with you where the Cubs will end up winning 9 out of 10 and then dropping 10 out of 11. You know, they are a wildly inconsistent team. But we'll say, you know, as of late, they are playing really well. So the key is going to be, what does that Chicago Cubs team look like and how are they playing at the very end of the season as they head into the postseason?
Yeah, they got to make sure that they're peaking or something close to it at the right time, because they just do not have the level of talent that a team like the Braves does. Tommy, quickly, before I let you go, you had a nice story in the Des Moines Register earlier this month on UNI quarterback Theo Day, who, understandably so, is getting a lot of attention headed into this 2023 season. What were your takeaways of putting that story together on Theo, getting to know him a little bit, and how might that have shaped anything at all on what you're thinking for Saturday's game between the Panthers and Cyclones?
Look, I mean, I already thought it was going to be a tough game for Iowa State just for the obvious factors of, look, Iowa State is really down in terms of what they have lost from the gambling stuff. And then the other factor of, look, you and I are traditionally a team that is built on a ton of Iowa kids who are really pissed off that they were overlooked by Iowa and Iowa State. And anytime they have a chance to play against them and stick it to them, they are going to make the most of that opportunity. Now, Theo Day is not an Iowa kid. He wasn't technically overlooked by Iowa or Iowa State, although he did end up reopening his recruiting when he decided to transfer. And, you know, there weren't many schools that were really interested in him. But I would say you throw on to the fact that, look, you always have a close game when it comes to you and I. Mark Farley always manages to get those kids pumped up and ready to go for that game, knowing that it's traditionally going to be a close game, and you have a talented quarterback, which can make all the difference in this game. I would say it's going to be a really tough challenge for Iowa State, especially because, man, the Cyclones have such a young team, and they have so many guys that are going to get on-the-job training when it comes to that first game. So, you know, put it this way, I have seen more talented Iowa State teams lose to you and I during that first week. So a loss during week one to the Panthers would not be a complete shock. And what a tremendous opportunity it could be for Theo Day, who is garnering a ton of accolades during the offseason, popping up when it comes to mock drafts and stuff like that. But you go out and beat a Power 5 team on the road, like, man, the attention is really going to pick up after that.
It'll be an interesting game. I think that's saying the least. Tommy, great to catch up with you, man. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Have fun in Ames if you make it.
I will. I'll be there. So I'm looking forward to it. Take care, my man.
Hold down my old spot.
I've already requested it. All right. See you, dude.
Thanks, man.
Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports during the break. We come back, we talk Independence High School football with Coach Justin Putz. That's next right here on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa quarterback Cade McNamara hopes to play Saturday when the Hawkeyes host Utah State in their season opener. The transfer from Michigan suffered a muscle strain at a public scrimmage this month and returned to practice last week.
I mean, I'm honestly just really getting better every single day. That decision is just really going to come down to the coaches and the medical staff.
Joe Labus led the Hawkeyes to a Music City Bowl victory over Kentucky, but he's been hobbled since July, so if McNamara can't go, Wisconsin transfer Deacon Hill is the likely starter. To baseball, the Iowa Cubs continue a series in Toledo. iCub pitchers walked 11 batters Tuesday in an 11-6 setback. In the Midwest League, Cedar Rapids is at home against Lake County, while the Quad Cities River Bandits continue a homestand against Peoria. This is Radio Iowa.
Naloxone can help you save someone's life. If you know someone that takes pain medication, or they have prescription narcotics and there are young children in the home, or they use drugs that include opioids, an overdose could happen. Naloxone could save their life. Naloxone is a nasal spray, and it is easy to use. You can get Naloxone for free from many local pharmacies. So ask your pharmacist about getting Naloxone, and be prepared to save a life. A message from Iowa HHS.
So what if you drink?
Right?
So what if you pass out?
Yeah, big deal.
What if you miss school because you are hungover?
That has only happened a couple of times.
What if your GPA plummets?
I didn't think about that.
So what if you lose your parents' trust?
Well, I don't want that to happen.
So what if you ruin your future when you drink?
So what was I thinking?
Underage drinking comes at a cost. Learn more at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
As school begins, the Cedar Falls School District would like to thank grandparents, friends, and extended families for all you do to support their mission. Your sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, and grandchildren continue to inspire the community by their upbeat, resilient responses to the changes that have come their way. The Cedar Falls School's mission of excellence is embodied in their desire for continuous improvement and their goals to maximize the abilities of all students in a supportive, collaborative environment. Educating your youth is an honor and a task they take very seriously. In a time wrought with change and uncertainty, what will remain constant is the Cedar Falls School's dedication to our youth. Our future is in their hands. Always remember, their first priority is the safety of students, staff, teachers, administrators, and the community at large. Cedar Falls students, have a great year. Go Tigers!
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Put new internet from Waverly Utilities on your school shopping list. Notebooks and pencils are still around, but technology has moved to the head of the class. To help your students succeed, consider upgrading to an A-plus internet plan with Waverly Utilities. They offer super fast speeds and unmatched reliability. So the only thing getting in the way of completing homework efficiently will be texts from friends. Sign up today at waverlyutilities.com.
Making life better.
Working from home or back in the office, don't miss a minute of Cole & Company. Just ask your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. Coming up in about a half hour's time will be week two edition of the Coaches Huddle. Mark Simpson standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls, and he'll be joined by the four Metro High School football coaches to recap week one and look ahead to week two. Waterloo West, Waterloo East, Columbus Catholic, and Cedar Falls football. Right now, we're going to talk Independence football as the Mustangs are ranked sixth in Class 3A. Got a big 50-22 win on the road at North Fayette Valley in week one last week. Coach Justin Putz joins us now. Coach, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm good. Appreciate you guys having us on here.
Hey, my pleasure, Coach. Let's just start with that big win. 50-22, like I said, at North Fayette Valley last Friday night. What'd you like most about that? How'd your guys get the job done?
Yeah, you know, I thought what I liked most about it was just kind of playing some intelligent football. And week one, you know, they came out passing quite a bit by North Fayette Valley standards, and traditionally quite a bit more than we expected. And I thought we did a good job of just learning throughout the game of how they're trying to attack us, you know, which ways they're going to go, and making some adjustments. I mean, like, we end up winning 50-22, and we got the running clock going there before we gave a score late, but it's 14-14 at halftime. And we had a couple good drives, and we didn't quite make enough plays on defense to get us off the field. And and they kind of won the ball game there. But I really like the way the guys answered. I like the way they adjusted, and I think it's important to be able to do that mid game and mid drive. And so it's kind of a good sign to do that early in the year, and we hope we can carry that forward here.
That's what stands out to me in hearing you talking about it, your team's ability to make those adjustments. You mentioned the defense struggled at times to get off the field. Credit North Fayette Valley. What are your main takeaways, Coach Putz, in terms of when you went back to work this week, anything specific coming out of that game?
Yeah, I think realistically you're never going to be as sharp as you want to be week one. There's always a ton to learn, and sometimes just getting it on film for those first-time starters and even returning starters that know how to play and have to come in. I think especially when a team comes out and does something a little different than you expect week one, and it's not as scouted as maybe you'd like, you really got to bear down and focus on your rules and your assignments. And there's plenty of mistakes to be made, but I think realistically we got to shore up our run game or our outside pass coverage a little bit. I thought we gave up too much, too easy on second long, third and long. And then our secondary, I thought, we got caught in the backfield a little bit, and we're looking here and there and maybe trying to play an assignment that's not ours. And we really just got to focus in on getting where we need to be assignment-wise and with the reads, and just make sure we're not focused on the backfield or all the motions and stuff that they're putting in. We just got to focus on what our job is and do that and do it well.
Backing up a little bit before the season began for your Mustangs last Friday night, Coach, how about your off season? Tell us about that. The weightlifting and conditioning, it's every sport, it's important to work in the off season, but football especially. Also, able to get the guys to any team camps or maybe some 7-on-7s. What can you tell us about the off season?
Yeah, we had a nice off season, and I think high school sports and football especially, they're getting bigger and bigger, I think, by the year. But our kids lift weights, and we lift weights hard. I think one of the things that sets us apart is we lift weights. We have a lot of multi-sport athletes, but we lift weights hard in season. We don't do the quote-unquote in-season lift during football or during basketball or during baseball. Our kids lift hard, and we live with the mentality of we want to gain strength and we want to become stronger, and that's freshman through senior. And so I think we built a weight room PE class that is, I would probably argue, second to none. And we've had quite a few schools come up and visit. And the thing I tell them, assistant coach Austin Pink does a great job with that class. But I think what sets us apart is our kids lift hard. It doesn't matter if they have a competition that day or not. They go and they get stronger. And then, that's a real springboard to our summer. Our kids are lifting all year. They're okay to go lift for baseball, and we do a lot of installs. We got 7-on-7 every Sunday in June with some area teams, and kind of wrap it up with a team camp at Central, and really go up against some of the better programs in the state. And a lot of those 5A teams go there, and just get some film on some kids. And I think our overall goal leaving there is we'd like to have you in the spot we think you're going to play. And we might try some kids out in different spots of camp, but reality is when we leave camp, we want to know if you can play that position or not. Not that we don't think it's correct, but we don't want to spend 3 weeks of practice time and get out there and find out, hey, this kid can't play that position, and we just wasted everybody's time for 3 weeks. So we like to have you on the right seat, and we kind of use the term, we don't want to lose a game in August or September for something we could have saw in July. So that's kind of our offseason there.
Independence High School football coach Justin Putz, our guest right now on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, when it came to preseason practices, getting ready for this season, might there have been anything in particular that this group, be it your players specifically or players and staff, where it's like, hey, it's important that we look ahead, but in terms of our experience last season, let's make sure we remember that and apply it toward the 2023 season?
Yeah, I think last year, we lost a quarterfinal game to go to the Dome at Humboldt. Actually, second year in a row we've done that. And we're right there. We missed a two-point conversion to tie it later in the game. We didn't get off the field a few times. When we scored 26 points. We did a number of good things, and we're right there. But I think, more than anything, and now it's a week eight going into West Delaware and winning a district title in a 21-20 ball game, beating Benton first round of playoffs, our guys know what it takes. They played it. We had some sophomore starters last year, junior returners, and they've just been around you know, what it takes to win at a high level. And we like beating every team on our schedule, don't get me wrong, but there's a certain level of a way of you got to do things to beat some really good teams. And so, yeah, we're excited. We're excited about that. And I think that, you know, our guys do have an understanding of what it takes, and they're putting the work in, and we'll see where that can get us.
When it comes to the work you did during those preseason practices, Coach, would you say that, you know, how that lays out every season is pretty much the same? Like, you've been doing it long enough that it's make sure we check this box, that box, and this box? Or how much, if at all, is preseason practice tailored toward, you know, what that team looks like with their skills and their talents? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think we have a certain way to practice that we believe in and we're going to do, and there's a certain number of segments that we just believe you have to do if, you know, you're going to be good. But each team has a unique identity. You know, we don't get to recruit all of our players, and you know, our goal really is to, within the framework of what we like to do, is kind of our base, and then where our team and talent and skills take us from there is its own thing. So I would say it's a little bit of both. But for this year, I'd say we are probably going to be a team that might throw for more than run for, and that might be the first time I've ever done that. But yeah, that's kind of what the players we have kind of dictates, and we kind of go from there.
You guys definitely threw the ball well in that season opening win last Friday night. Your junior quarterback EJ Miller completed 19 of 27 passes for 273 yards and 4 touchdowns. I can't really ask for anything better than that from your signal caller, Coach Putz. So what can you tell us about your junior quarterback?
Yeah, you know, he's a nice player, and he started the week 0 game for us last year with an injury there, and you know, and it was tough on him. You know, he had about 4 days of being the guy before he went down there and had to do it on the road there, and he's taking some big steps. You know, he played safety for us last year at the varsity level, so he's been in the mix in terms of understanding what it takes to prepare at the varsity level and be out there. And you know, our skill guys are really good. Brady Kurt had a monster game for us. I think he had over 100 yards, a couple touchdowns. A senior tight end, wide receiver Brady McDonald, had 7 or 8 catches for about 80 yards. And you know, he's a 4-year starter for us. He's a really good athlete. And a couple of the other kids got involved as well. And so, you know, we're able to do a lot with those skill guys. And EJ just has facilitated. And he did a good job of getting the ball where it needed to go.
Tell us about your defense. Who are some of the guys that are leading that group? And what's important for them to hone in on to have success this season?
Realistically, you know, I would say we're not the biggest group, but we're pretty athletic. And so we're going to have to play our assignments really well. We're going to have to grow from where we're at now. But that unit does have the ability to be really, really good. You know, we turned both corners, and the senior Luke Johnson and the junior Dylan Isley both started for us last year. Trey Weber's moved outside back inside. He's a really good player. Tate Woods, a junior middle linebacker that started for us last year, that we think is going to be good. And then our tight end, Brady McDonald, sliding into DN this year. Zach Stiles going from outside linebacker to a DN. We think those two have a chance to be really, really good for us. You know, hopefully we can bring along our outside linebacker core. He's getting pretty inexperienced, but they have all the potential to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hoping our D tackles can hang in there and play tough for us as well. So we think over some time we have a chance to be pretty good in there.
Couple more minutes here with Independence High School football coach Justin Putz on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. Coach, you mentioned earlier the identity of this team, that it may be different than perhaps any that you've had so far at Independence. So what may end up being, you know, what sticks out about this team and makes it its own?
I think We definitely have some playmakers in the skill position and offense. I think more times than not, we probably had the one real superstar player. And we're going back to some quarterbacks that were 3,000-yard total kids. We had Marcus Beatty a few years ago, 2,000-yard tailback. You know, this year we might have multiple receivers up close to 750, 800 yards. You might have a tailback there. You know, we might have, you know, I think we had 5 kids score in offense the other night. You know, that doesn't always happen. So I think we're going to be pretty multiple in diverse, and I think we'll probably end up throwing it at a level that most of our teams around here have not. Not that we have bad throwers, but we've traditionally probably been right around that 1,500-yard passing mark in a year, maybe 1,600. You know, this year I think we have a chance probably to find our way up to around 2,000.
And finally, Coach, let's talk about this Friday night's game, your home opener against Crestwood. What's the scouting report?
You know, Crestwood, the team, we haven't played them since 2015. They used to be 3A, and they kind of went down to 2. And we were on the schedule in 2020 and got COVIDed out. But they're just a team that traditionally, it's a real solid wrestling school. They got real tough kids. They always have some height, and they're pretty strong, and they always play really, really gritty. And we're going to come in and play kind of a gun wing tee and try to run the ball a little bit and control that tempo. And they're really going to get after you on defense, a lot of man. We're going to bring 5-6 guys every play. So it's one of those deals where, you know, our skill guys, hopefully they can find some separation, and we can get the ball to them, and we can keep EJ standing up. So certainly going to be a nice matchup and kind of a team that we used to see every year that we haven't, you know, for about 7 or 8 years. So we're excited to have them back on the schedule and you know, play a team that we've traditionally played quite a few times.
Well, Coach, pleasure to learn about your football team. Best of luck, best of health the rest of this season, and we'll have to catch up with you later on, hopefully after you guys have racked up a whole bunch of W's, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Independence High School football coach Justin Putz, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We'll come back, wrap it up for a final time before there's more high school football talk. Yes, the Coach's Huddle, Week 2 edition, coming up between 6 and 7 with Mark Simpson. He's standing by live at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls. If you haven't made your dinner plans tonight, I think I just did. Get on out to Pepper's, enjoy the show, and have a good meal. All right, we're back right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The deadline for teams to get down to 53 players passed at 4 p.m. Eastern Tuesday, and Jonathan Taylor remains a Colt, but he won't be on the field for a while. The All-Pro running back will miss at least the first 4 games of the season after being placed on the physically unable to perform list with an ankle injury. Von Miller also out at least the first 4 games after landing on the PUP list due to a knee injury. Zappy Hour is over in New England. For now, the Patriots released quarterback Bailey Zappi, who started 2 games for the team last season. Some other roster moves. The Dolphins released running back Miles Gaskin. The Giants cut veteran receivers Cole Beasley and Jamison Crowder, while the Saints released corner Bradley Roby and linebacker Jalen Smith. And DeMar Hamlin's remarkable return to football continues. The Bills' safety made the team's 53-man roster Tuesday, less than 9 months after suffering cardiac arrest during a game. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Mid-Iowa Electric Motors and Equipment has over 20,000 square foot of warehouse inventory, making it the largest motor warehouse in North Iowa, Southern Minnesota, and now in Central Iowa. I'm Ryan Lehner. We are your leading source of replacement motors with more than 2,500 motors in stock. We also carry a variety of pulleys, capacitors, and belts. Mid-Iowa's repair shops in Mason City and now in Kesley, Iowa are capable to rebuild or replace your existing motors. Visit us online at midiowa.com and on location at 16455 Lark Avenue, southeast of Mason City, and now in downtown Kesley, Iowa.
Are you ready to get fit at the YMCA? Try one of the 40-plus fitness classes per week to get your heart rate up, burn some calories, and have fun. Let one of our certified fitness instructors lead you through a fun exercise routine in a variety of styles. Looking for some individual attention? Let a Y-certified personal trainer help you get going on your path to success. 3 sessions for only $99. Get fit at the Family YMCA, where you belong.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The word tanking has been a popular term to describe the Arizona Cardinals so far for the 2023 season. Kyler Murray is set to miss time, at least the first 4 games due to injury, and the roster is filled with unproven talent. The Cards are the current runaway betting favorite to land the number 1 overall pick. But tanking isn't as easy as fans are led to believe. Players and coaches still play to win. The team is loaded with 1-year contracts. That will force those players to put on a good show. A similar dilemma the Houston Texans had last season. The team's roster was seriously lacking talent, but even so, Houston missed out on the top pick. In 2021, the Jets looked like they were going to land Trevor Lawrence. They ended up with the 2nd overall pick. So while this roster may be lacking impact talent, don't lock the Cardinals into that top selection in the draft just yet, because with the players and coaches competing for their jobs, you could squeeze in a win or two that might surprise you. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
College football fans, DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season. New customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. The only thing that's a lock is the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code Patrick. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. That's code Patrick only on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Cole and Company with Colbert.
I do.
On 1650 The Fan.
Now, are you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
I had some fun on that show. I hope you did too. Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register, got to thank him for joining, as well as Independence High School football coach Justin Putz. We are mere moments away from week two edition of the Coaches Huddle from Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls. Mark Simpson standing by to be joined by Cedar Falls, Waterloo West, Waterloo East, and Waterloo Columbus Catholic football coaches. Enjoy the huddle. Enjoy your evening. I'll be back tomorrow at 5. Have a good one, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.